If you move their arms and they grimace, you know, if they're nonverbal, things to look for is you look at the facial expression and you see if they're in any pain. So mostly nonverbal, you need to kind of look at the physical symptoms. But when they're verbal, then they'll tell you, yeah, I had a fall, I hit my head. At that point, you do everything from head to toe.
Hey out there, welcome back to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. My name is Rob. I will be your host for this episode. We're talking about traumatic brain injuries in nursing homes, the signs and symptoms and what we can do to prevent them. But we're not having that conversation alone. We have Calliope Panagas joining us to take us through this subject. But now it is time for the nursing home regulation question of the week. And as always, this is your opportunity to win this Nursing Home Abuse Podcast mug. It is the perfect vessel from which to drink your coffee every morning. How do you win that? Well, it's a good question. You go to our TikTok, which is at Justice for Residents, and you're going to look for the question of the week video. In this instance, it's going to be the thumbnail is going to have a black and white photo of an old judge, and that would be Louis Brandeis. So you're going to look for Louis Brandeis. You're going to comment the answer to the question as well as your favorite Supreme Court justice. So find the black and white photo of Louis Brandeis, click on that. Comment your answer, comment your favorite Supreme Court justice. My favorite Supreme Court justice is obviously Louis Brandeis. He wrote a lot of amazing opinions with respect to free speech in our country. So, and I dig him. He's a cool dude. Anyway, a winner will be chosen randomly and announced on Sunday on TikTok and on our website, which is shinkfirm.com/podcast/giveaway. Prizes will be sent at the end of the month, but as we all know, no one enters this contest, so it's all good. All right, here we go. All right, difficulty level for this one this week, folks, is hard. I'm gonna say that if you get this right, give yourself, you're allowed to, like, if the light is yellow, just speed through it. You'll be fine. You'll be all right. I'm just kidding. Don't do that, because I'm sure that somebody will do that. Of course, nobody listens to this, so what does it matter? Anyway, you can breeze through the yellow light. You don't have to come to a stop. Here we go. Under 42 CFR 483.55, what is a facility required to do if a resident's dentures are lost or damaged? Is it A, replace the dentures at no cost to the resident, regardless of the circumstances? B, require the resident or the family to arrange for dental services independently with no facility involvement? Or C, refer the resident for dental services within 3 days or document steps taken to ensure that they can still eat or drink if a delay occurs. And that answer is C. The nursing home needs to be a little bit more hands-on if the resident's dentures are lost or damaged. They've got to make sure that there's new ones or that they're in the process of getting new ones within 3 days. All right, so I'm excited to get into the meat and potatoes of the episode. We are talking about TBIs in nursing homes, but we're not doing that alone. We have Calliope Panagas. Calliope is the founder of Zoe Legal Nurse Consulting. With over a decade of hands-on nursing experience from long-term care to case management, Calliope brings a deep understanding of patient care and health and the healthcare system. Her passion for advocacy led her to Legal Nurse Consulting, where she helps attorneys analyze medical records and uncover the truth in nursing home and personal injury cases. Inspired by her Greek heritage, she named her company Zoe, meaning life, and lives out its mission, bringing justice to life. And I'm so happy that she's bringing this topic to life for us today. Calliope, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I think to just so that we are all on the same sheet of music, I think the first question is going to be, what constitutes a traumatic brain injury?
So that's a great question. Traumatic brain injury is basically it happens when an external force injures the brain, which causes the brain to not function normally. So there are two parts of a brain injury. There's a close head injury and there's a penetrating head injury. So the close head injury, for an example, is in this case, a fall or a blow to the head, or a penetrating injury, which is a gunshot wound.
And you said it's a close, and then what was the other one?
Penetrating.
Okay. I guess so oftentimes for our purposes in long-term care, we're dealing mostly with closed TBIs, right?
Yes. Like
where somebody hits their head on the ground. Okay. So tell me then, How is it? Because I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that can that it's hard to understand how someone barely hitting the ground with their head, how that could possibly cause a traumatic brain injury.
So, see, if it's people my age that has a fall, no big deal. But if it's an elderly person, their blood vessels are more delicate. A lot of them are on blood thinners. So, a slight little head bump can be a life-threatening traumatic brain injury.
So, okay, well then if that's the case, then let's say that we were at a nursing home, someone has fallen, but perhaps we didn't see the fall. So it's an unwitnessed fall. What are some of the indicators that this individual has a traumatic brain injury?
Increased confusion, unsteadiness on their feet upon standing, and also very difficult for them to respond to questions timely like they used to. They don't seem fine when they were okay before. Now they seem off. They were normal before, and then they just seem off. And usually just have to take that as a red flag.
Well, I guess would it should it be the case then that if it's unwitnessed, is the default to just assume in situations where the baseline is confusion and it would be difficult to kind of parse through whether or not they have the signs and symptoms of TBI versus this is just, they're being this is their normal self, to treat it every fall like that as though it's a potential TBI?
Absolutely. It is very important. It is a critical issue because falls are preventable. And, they have to do neuro checks for the first 15 minutes of the fall. Just assume that they hit their head, even if they tell you that they're fine. Even if they were confused before, you still have to assume that they hit their head and really be diligent and be mindful of anything that's changed since their fall.
Walk us through what a typical neuro check is.
So, neuro checks happen. I can just tell you that the first 50, it's every 15 minutes for the first hour, every 30 minutes for the next 4 hours, every hour for the next 24 hours, and then every 70, for the next 72 hours, it's every 4 hours.
I see. So with the neuro check, is it going to be something along the lines of like you're looking at dilation of the pupils? Is it like is it what you said, like it includes behavior, things like that?
Yeah, so dilation of pupils, vital signs, pain, nausea or vomiting. It would be also motor function, things
Okay.
like that.
I see. So I guess from my perspective, the way I think of it is a neuro check is only cognitive, but it's other things too. So it's I guess it's the things that kind of expand out from the cognitive, like being able to your motor functions, as you mentioned, behavioral changes and that kind of stuff. So that's happening. You said every 15 minutes for the first hour.
Yes.
Okay, I see. And kind of what role does that assessment play in preventing TBIs or reducing them?
I would say because it allows you to catch things early on. And a lot of the times, traumatic brain injuries are not very obvious until the next 72 hours. So it really keeps it on track in terms of staying on top of it and being diligent with the assessment. So that if you do see any kind of change from the baseline, you know to get immediate medical care right away.
And so what happens if there is no care? Like let's say that this individual that has fallen has a TBI but slips through the cracks for whatever reason. What can we expect to have happen?
Increased confusion, difficulty with arousal, and then they start getting agitated when they were really sweet before, and they just seem off. And if they seem off to you, then they are off.
And then take us through long term. Like, is it, I mean, like, essentially, that a TBI, like, your brain is bleeding. Like, what's going on? Like, long term, what's happening to this person that's not treated?
It's extremely devastating, honestly. One of the physical, and they go through physical changes, emotional changes, accelerated cognitive decline, which then becomes full-blown dementia at that point. They can also end up being very depressed and agitated because when they used to be able to be independent with their activities that they used to do, now they are no longer independent. Now they're dependent on their caregivers, which is very frustrating to them. So it affects them mentally. They get depressed. They're more, sometimes they could become impulsive with decision making. In terms of swallowing too, that also affects their swallowing, which then can cause pneumonia because they can choke and the food can go in their lungs. So it has a whole plethora of things that can happen, and it's extremely devastating.
I see. So it's not lethal. This is a condition that you live with.
Yes, if it's not cared for properly on time, then absolutely.
I see. And so what are some of the ways that a nursing home can essentially prevent or reduce TBIs from falls?
Well, what they can do, this is actually a really, really critical issue because one of the big things with nursing homes is staffing. So a lot of the times I've had something happen where I was doing med pass and I had 30 patients under me, and I didn't see the patient on the floor until I went in the room to give her meds. She was very nonverbal. She was just laying there next to her bed. So I found her right away. I became really diligent. I sent her out, got a CT scan of her head because she had blood thinners. She was taking blood thinners, which you have to make sure. And everything was fine, thank God. But more training, proper body mechanics with transfers, especially with the bed being high up, non-slip floors, free of clutter, well lit. Always do physical and occupational therapy to make sure that they can have some strength training to help with the weakness that they experience at their age. But I feel like staffing is a really big thing. This is why a lot of these accidents happen,
So
unfortunately.
it kind of expand on that, like why is staffing important? Like what is having less staffing doing that would cause more residents to have falls related or, and causing TBIs?
Because they have 30 patients under them, so it's kind of hard to kind of keep an eye on all of them. And a lot of these residents have agitation. They walk around and you don't even notice that they're walking around because you're busy doing other things. Or, 30 patients, that's a lot.
So in that example that you gave about finding the resident, you said you found her on the ground by her bed.
Yes.
What do you do at that point? Like, what's your process? Like, do you do an assessment of her physical body? Like, are you asking her questions? Walk us through like what your assessment was.
Well, if they're nonverbal, you don't really ask them. So really look at the physical aspects. If you check their eyes, make sure that their pupils, if it's more than half a second of the pupils reacting to light, that means that's sluggish and that's a red flag. Also, you can also check for any bumps on the head. You can kind of feel around if they're vomiting. If you move their arms and they grimace, if they're nonverbal, things to look for is you look at the facial expression and you see if they're in any pain. So mostly nonverbal, you need to kind of look at the physical symptoms. But when they're verbal, then they'll tell you, yeah, I had a fall, I hit my head. At that point, you do everything from head to toe.
Let me ask this, like for that example that you gave where you did the assessment and sent the resident out for a CT scan, how do you know when to do that versus when to just wait for the next neuro check? Like what is the red flag that's like, okay, let's go ahead and send her out rather than do more neuro checks?
I'm a little OCD, to be honest. When I know that someone's on multiple blood thinners, I'd rather just be safe than sorry.
I see.
That's just the way I do things.
Right.
You could just never, because plus being delicate with their blood vessels, being older, even a slight little blow can kind of move their brain around in their skull, and that can cause a bleed. So I'm very, especially I don't even know if she's hit their head. I'd just rather be on the safe side.
That makes a lot of sense. What are there any anything that you can say to a family that has a loved one in a nursing home that might have that might be at risk for a fall, like what you can educate them about in terms of like being on the lookout for TBIs. Like what advice would you give for those family members?
Well, the first thing that they should do is ask detailed questions such as, did anyone witness this fall? Was their head impacted in any way? Could it have been? What symptoms have they shown since the fall? Has anything changed? Are they more confused than before? And just, if the nursing home tells them, oh, they're just fine, it's just their age, I feel like that's a red flag and they need to push and be persistent. They need to just keep on pushing and probing, get as much as information as they can since the fall. And also teach the family about, ways to prevent falls, proper body mechanics. Ensure that they have non-skid footwear, not socks, especially when they shuffle around when they're older. Socks is not really a safe thing. gym shoes or tennis shoes is really good. And just overall, just keep an eye on how the mood shifts from what they were before the fall.
Very well said. Well, Clappy, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your knowledge with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Folks, I hope you found this episode educational. If you have an idea for a topic that you would like for me to talk about, please let me know. If you have an idea for a guest that you'd like for me to talk to, please let me know that as well. As always, please take one of these mugs from me. I beg you. New episodes of the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast come out every single Monday. And with that, we'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in to the Nursing Home Abuse Podcast. Nothing said on this podcast, either by the host or the guest, should be construed as legal or medical advice, nor is intended to create an attorney-client relationship between the host or their guest and the listener. New episodes, for now, are available every other Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on your favorite podcast app, as well as on YouTube and our website, nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. Again, that's nursinghomeabusepodcast.com. See you next time.